Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Ken Napsok.
And it is time for Podcast Clone Wars Report. Star Wars fans talking about Star Wars. How will the Jedi respond? There we go. That's a great intro. We'll do it every time. We can trade off being Tom Kane.
We'll freeform jazz it.
Freeform jazz it, yes. Because I definitely want to hear your thoughts on how he would announce a podcast. That would upset the entire galactic civilization. How would it affect the Outer Rim? Are there sieges? Who knows? Anyway, this is the second episode of the Clone Wars Report. We are getting all excited to build up to that final season. We're going to discuss each episode on Monday after it airs on Friday on Disney Plus. But for now, last week we talked a lot about Ahsoka, and this week we wanted to talk about another of the major characters, and that is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yes. Obi-Wan Kenobi, I think, absolutely not only just one of the leads, he's one of the hearts of this series. Our pal James Arnold Taylor voices him so well.
Yeah, does an amazing job.
Have to talk about him.
Yeah, yeah. So let's just dive right in. What do you... Well, actually, no, I want to even go farther back.
Ooh.
Do you like Kenobi in the Clone Wars.
And no, goodbye. No.
It's for me, it's an interesting thing of like Obi-Wan Kenobi is one of the original characters, particularly mm-hmm. if you start with A New Hope or if you were alive when there was only A New Hope and yep. nothing else. Obi-Wan Kenobi is one of the original characters. He's the mentor. Yeah. And the prequels come out and he's one of the young, dashing leads. And then we get to spend kind of an insane amount of time with his character yeah. because of the Clone Wars. And I think there's been a lot of times in Star Wars fandom where people are like, I don't want to know more about that character. I don't need to know more. So I've never heard anybody go, I didn't need that much Kenobi. It's too much Kenobi. But it occurred to me to take a step back and think and just ask, are you happy that we got that much Kenobi?
I think in the end of the day I am, but that's why it's a good question. I'm really placing myself back in time watching this unfold kind of in real time. And I did have a little bit of aversion to the Kenobi that was being presented to me. Nothing to do with the performance, nothing to do with the writing, nothing to do with anything other than my own agenda, my own bias, my own, hey, that's, Hugh and Alec, is that what we're seeing? And it was just, it was a little weird to think, all right, this is now an action star away. And obviously, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi doing what we always heard about, fought for, Bail in the Clone Wars. Yeah. Now we're literally seeing that. And sometimes I, as a fan, sometimes just going to go, I don't know. And then once I slowed down, not only do I really love the character, I love a lot of the Kenobi spotlight on Kenobi episodes. I think we do learn some of them. I think he also is the Obi-Wan we come to know and love. We're going to dive into that, obviously, all that stuff. But it was a process for me.
Yeah.
For no reason, not like Ahsoka. Hey, she's a snippy little kid and I don't like that. It was just like this. Okay. All right. I have a lot of expectations in my head of what Kenobi was during the Clone Wars. Does this level reach that level? And it did.
Yeah. Yeah. You served my father in the Clone Wars. Yeah. To actually see that line play out was really powerful. Yeah. And like we talked about last week, my journey with Clone Wars, where I had ambivalent feelings about seeing the film and then came around to watch the series eventually and loved it. I loved Kenobi in the prequels, even in my most critical times of the prequels.
Yeah.
I would have fought someone to the verbal death to defend Kenobi and Ewan McGregor's performance. So there's definitely that a little bit of like, is it going to feel the same? And James Arnold Taylor, at this point, a friend of mine and been on Force Center, does an amazing job. And I never felt any. I never felt any disconnect from the performance. To James and all of the writers and animators credit. So I think when I first saw that movie, my concern was I'm not going to see anything different than what I already saw in the movies, in the prequel movies. And when I went back and finally watched the series, that's what I think I was most delighted by. Mm. It's not only just more quality time with Kenobi being General Kenobi. Yeah. Fighting in the Clone Wars, but that we did get to see not only like big other sides of him, but just the fun of the nuances of the character. Yeah. I think he is a very nuanced character. He's very consistent. And some of it is just you watch one episode and you're like, oh, that's just Kenobi doing his Kenobi stuff. But then you step back and go like, but exactly what did he say to Anakin? And exactly how did he decide to handle that situation? And that's when the character just really starts to sing in all of his little choices.
Yeah.
So I'm just so thrilled to have so much quality time to spend with Kenobi, both from the big moments to just the small moments.
It's a testament to letting some of these shows, movies, and characters breathe.
Yeah. Let Kenobi breathe. So let's dive in to some of those details we're talking about. So what did you feel like, what already existing traits of Kenobi did you enjoy seeing play out in the Clone Wars animated show?
I think I always get a sense that he's kind of in control, even when he's not in control. That's why he's going to take time to get a drink.
Yeah.
and guard this with your life. I'm going to a lot of Attack the Clone stuff there. So I saw a lot of that. A sense of discovery at times is, you know, the ability to go the whole undercover thing, just kind of doing all the jobs he needs to do for the Jedi, doing it, having that weird sense of humor.
Yeah.
Having kind of that Kenobi ability, again, to get a drink, but also just to make a little snip during it. It's a lot of just on that personality level. And then, again, just he turns into such a mentor for a generation of fans, not just the characters, but you see he's kind of still because he's at emotional core to me in this series.
Yeah.
Everything kind of comes back to him in a way, even when he's going through things. Anakin can still come to him and look to him for guidance. Ahsoka can still look to him. Padme can come for any kind of guidance or consolation. So I like that would naturally turn into the mentor guy.
Yeah, that he's already in the role of,
yeah.
I'm not that much older than these right. other people, but I'm kind of the seasoned one. And yeah, it's a part of his yeah. story from Phantom Menace, the value of
yeah.
Qui-Gon in his relationship of that. He got kind of thrust into that mentor role at a young age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's great. I think how many times he's either just advocates patience or in his actions is just sort of like, I'm curious, what's over there? Let me go check yeah. that out and take my time. And mm-hmm. Anakin, you could go blow that up, but why don't we just stop and look for a second? I think it's his character. It's a sort of, yeah. It shows patience. It shows a little bit of a sort of adherence to just being the soldier and doing the right thing, just right. being the good Jedi who goes and does what he's supposed to do. But I think it's also got this sort of deeper connection to like, hey, I'm just going to listen to the will of the Force.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have sort of almost like religious faith of, I have a feeling mm-hmm. that going over there is the best way to handle this.
Yeah.
And I think that all of those things, you know, build up lots of interesting ideas about Kenobi. Yeah. I also like how much he is grumpy. Grumpy and sarcastic. Yes. Yes. Sometimes the sarcasm is like, I get to be fun and playful yeah. with a friend or a situation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes like that great Quinlan Vos episode, you can see like he respects Quinlan Vos. He's just like, guy kind of gets on my nerves. And so I'm kind of grumpy about it, you know? And to me, it's another great
yeah.
part of this kind of maybe slightly arrogant, maybe yeah. a little bit craving adventure young man mm-hmm. who shares those traits with Anakin, suddenly at a very young age being foisted into the constant mentor.
Yeah.
Where so there's this great dynamic of sort of like, I'm always lecturing Anakin for things that I would maybe sometimes do.
Yeah.
Too.
Right, yeah.
yeah. But yes, yeah. So yeah.
Comes out.
So many great moments of grump. Yeah. And then that that mix of curiosity and patience
mm-hmm.
of give it time, let it breathe. And also, what's over there? You know, what is somebody else thinking? Can I try to see it from their perspective, either for empathy or for tactical advantage?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I love about, you know, from a different point of view is like this big philosophical thing that he tries to lay on Luke in Return of the Jedi that everybody thinks is shifty, but I think it's philosophy. But I love that you get to see him do that either from legitimately trying to understand why somebody is acting the way they do versus, mm-hmm. and also like, I see that my opponent is going to be really frustrated.
Yeah.
By me taking my time. So I'm going to take my time and let them, you know, hoist themselves on their own space petard.
you talk about faith too. I like that you see a lot of Obi-Wan's, I think, faith in what he believes, what he was taught. A little bit of faith in the institution, which might come crumbling down later, which could, I still think, you and I think, agree we want to see him wrestle with that in this Kenobi series,
yeah.
the live action. If it ever shall come out, it will. It will. Whether it's titled Kenobi, Old Ben, or Old Man in the Sea, I don't know what it will be called. But you know what I mean? Like
Old
in
Man
this one,
in the Dune Sea, yeah.
it's fully in action, just like, no, this is we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, and which kind of could lead a little bit to him crumbling later on because he starts to, even in Attack of Clones, he starts to learn the other side. But I like through the series, he starts having some of himself tested and what he believes in tested.
Yeah.
And how he goes around doing it.
Yeah.
He's still Kenobi. He still does it right.
Yeah, he gets tested so many times in so many different ways, whether it's just like patience with Anakin or a mission that he's not sure about or somebody he has to partner with or, you know, loved ones being murdered, things like that, you know, that that test you. But I think he is. I was talking last week about Ahsoka being kind of our entry point to what if you were a Jedi because you're starting from such a point of youth and she goes through so many standard youth things. I always think Obi-Wan Kenobi is our best example of a Jedi who's just doing his job. Like,
yeah,
when Yoda lectures Luke about, you know, you don't crave adventure. It's so good to see that with Kenobi. They certainly do that in the prequels where he's not excited about flying. Yeah. You know, he's not excited to kick ass. It's not, and to just see him, he's just, I don't know, you have that certain just respect when you see somebody in the real world who is dedicated to their job, has given it thought, and is just doing like, nope, this is my job. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it well. And Kenobi is just, he is just like sort of the absolute craft person of a Jedi.
Yeah.
Who's just like, I do my job and I do it well. And this is the job of a Jedi. Be in touch with the Force. Do what the Council asks you. Question the Council if you have to. But for the most part, do it. You know, try not to hurt people. But sometimes limbs do need to be cut off. And what? I'm doing my job.
Get a drink when you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I call him a lot the poster child or poster boy or man, whatever you want to say, of the Jedi Order at the time. Like, he's the best of them in a way. What he and even though things might be burning around him, he's still going to be like, no, this is what we got to do. Like, again, that does definitely gets challenged in the overall story of Kenobi. This is a guy going back to Phantom Menace. Stay on the ship and just work on the hyperdrive. Yes, sir.
Yep. That's not really sure about that, but okay, great. Gonna do that. Yep. Mm-hmm. And even has that little bit of I'm gonna cope with by being a little snarky. The negotiations were short. All right, so let's move on to what was new that we learned about Kenobi in the Clone Wars that maybe was hinted at by movie appearances, but was really became a big part of him in the Clone Wars.
I think for me, it kind of was going to pop up a lot, but so let's just get to it now. But that Duchess Satine arc just unveiled so much.
It changes everything, right?
Changes everything. And specifically, I kind of remember watching the first time around and, you know, sometimes you watch some, even Star Wars, you just watch it and against your better desires, it just slips into the background of your day.
Yeah.
And you're like, Clone Wars is on. I'm also doing my taxes. I remember that episode and I kind of did the wait. Satine had kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And on one level, it's just, oh, that's Star Wars sleeping romance. But I'm like, but he knows he shouldn't. He knows he can't.
Yeah.
And suddenly the good old boy has not a skeleton in his closet in a bad way, but just a real, real thing at odds with what he's also saying, not just learning, but saying. And I just remember that I had like new respect for him in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It made him more real as a character. And I thought it was a great decision.
Right. Because I think one of the sometimes criticisms of the prequels is they, with the way everything with Anakin and Padme's romance is discussed, there's a little bit of questions and ambiguity. And I think this sort of Obi-Wan's potential romance with Duchess Satine kind of answered some of those questions of like, look, the Jedi have this specific rule because they fear attachment will lead to these things, but it doesn't mean they don't feel romance or love or the possibility of it. And it humanizes Obi-Wan and it also humanizes the Jedi Order through Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
And the way that story plays out that they had to be on the run together because Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan were assigned to protect her during this Mandalorian Civil War for like a year.
Yeah.
And you can see like, I love watching Qui-Gon go, sparks are flying. Who knows what's gonna happen here?
It's a test.
It's great, elegant, that whole arc where we first meet Duchess Satine and find out about this. It's great, subtle bits of writing where we learn that, he thought about leaving the Jedi Order. And I'm paraphrasing, but what he says is, I would have left if you asked me.
Yeah.
So one, we get he's a human. He can fall in love.
Yeah.
Just that one line paints a picture of The Jedi aren't these weird monks who are like, love doesn't exist. Yeah. You know, they're not Vulcans, you know, yeah. Not like we only believe in logic. It's your commitment to the Jedi Order says you're committed to the Order. You're not married to one individual. You love everyone as we are all one, but you don't love one person. Hey, but if you do, cool.
Yeah.
Just hand over your robes. Maybe hand over your lightsaber. I don't know the etiquette on that. But the idea that that is an option, and that probably happens to some Jedi where they're like,
yes,
look, I'm even a Padawan. I made it this far.
Mm-hmm.
I love the Order. I have a bond with my master.
Right.
But I fell in love and the Order isn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's a side conversation, but if we're, you know, not that I suddenly want a teen sex romp in Star Wars, but if you're to give me any kind of Jedi Order training, like not necessarily like new stuff, but going in the past, High Republic era.
Oh, yeah.
I want some of this to play.
Yeah.
I don't just mean in a CW type drama, but just like, you know, a couple Padawan Jedi themselves end up. Oh, that happened. What do we do as Jedi? We feel for each other. Someone on the outside. That's interesting stuff because then, like I said, it kind of makes the Jedi Order more human.
Yeah.
More human. You know what I mean? Relatable, the word. So, and the way it even ends the story where he just outright goes against the rules. We're talking about the end of Satine's life where they're like, Obi-Wan. He like sneaks out there.
Yeah. She puts out the call for help and the Jedi Order is doing their normal, like, well, it's a delicate situation. We need to get permission from blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And to see Anakin or Obi-Wan pull an Anakin and go, nope. Yeah.
He does it for love.
Yep.
He does it for love. And so
love or loyalty even?
Yeah. Yeah. All of the above, column A, column B. And just, I remember, and that comes a little bit later, but just by then you're pulled into it. It when you say learn something new, it just, to me, it opened up Obi-Wan as oh, hey, Captain America is fallible.
You know? Yeah, it heightens, you know? It heightens the tragedy of Anakin's fall, that if maybe Obi-Wan had been able to go Anakin, or you know, vice versa, if Anakin had been able to talk to Obi-Wan more, it just, the whole thing makes it feel like Obi-Wan has the same problems you do. He feels the same things. He's had some of the same experiences.
Yeah.
But he is very strong and will not let the dark side in.
Yeah.
And if you guys could have talked more, maybe, you know.
One more drink at the Outlander Club.
More drink at the Outlander Club. I also just love that the subtlety of what that says about his character of, if you, Satine, had asked me, I would have left the Jedi Order. Because that's a total, he could have said, I would like to leave the Jedi Order. Would you be with me if I did? But he put that ball entirely in her court.
Yeah. And I want to know more about that decision on her part. I think I interpret it as she wasn't going to let that happen to him, but also she's got duty too. And she's got great duty and responsibility. And this, it's a great tragic Star Wars love story.
Yeah. It feels like
we need to hear.
Yeah. It feels like she sees him and kind of knows, like, I know you love me, but I also know you love the Order. So I'm not going to make this decision for you.
Yeah.
Cause that's some of the great thing is she criticizes him, the Jedi Order. It seems
she's all up in the Jedi's face, man.
The beauty of it is it seems like she sees his flaws and his many strengths and she loves him fully and wholly, right?
The most powerful descriptor of who he is comes from her, right?
Yeah, the collection of half-truths and hyperbole that is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And that can only come from
someone,
you know, somebody.
Yeah, somebody who knows you, knows your stuff. So, for me, a new thing we learned is, the heart, the humanity, the temptation. Another thing that, maybe there are hints of it in the prequels, but it's right out on display in the Clone Wars, flirty.
Oh, yeah.
He is so I've rewatching some episodes, certainly gets flirty with Ventress.
Yes, he does.
There's a weird vibe there. He gets flirty with the bounty hunter Suji.
Right.
In that episode. Obviously, there's a Satine thing. So you get that feeling like you know, if you choose to interpret Attack of the Clones, some of Anakin's romance just being sort of like, I'm a frustrated teen who doesn't know how to express these emotions. Obi-Wan doesn't seem to have that problem.
It all makes sense that this is a dude hanging out in Dexter's Diner, that this is the dude going to the club. This is the guy.
He's very, very social, that he would be the life of the party unless something made him grumpy or a politician came by.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, I don't want to be here. Let's go to Dex's Diner. The last thing that I feel like was really not necessarily new, but is a fascinating spotlight on his character is how many different people, villains, kind of treat Obi-Wan Kenobi as their archenemy.
Yes.
And like, is that a badge of honor or a problem that Obi-Wan would maybe have a fun, snarky thought about? Like, I've collected people who specifically hate me. Like, okay, you got Maul. Fair enough. Cut him in half and he spent 10 years dreaming about hurting you. Great.
That'd be fine.
But, you know, you get the whole expanded relationship with Grievous.
Mm-hmm.
Where Kenobi is the bane of Grievous's existence, up to a point, Hondo in his early appearances, you know, maybe he shares that with Anakin, Pre Vizsla, certainly,
right?
And then you just get to spend time with so much more time with Palpatine Sidious, knowing Kenobi in particular, is a pain in his ass, because that is a good role model. You know, he's the angel on Anakin's shoulder to Sidious's devil on Anakin's shoulder. So you there's those times where you get like, could he just die in one of these battles, please?
Take him out.
So, it just kind of elevates Obi-Wan. I'm just like, what? I'm just going through life doing my job. And 17 different people consider me their personal arch nemesis.
If you don't make enemies, you're not doing your job well.
So we've kind of hinted at him, but any favorite Kenobi moments for you, large or small?
The Satine stuff just all over. It's some of the best stuff there. I mentioned the Rayko Hardeen stuff.
Yeah, where he goes undercover and gets his body entirely transformed.
I liked that arc over all the big stuff there. I think I like a lot of his interactions with the clones because he always has kind of a weird. To me, I don't know if I'm fully. Maybe I'm interpreting it wrong sometimes, but I like Anakin's more of the. I'm hanging with the clones. Commander Cody and Obi-Wan have a connection. Don't get me wrong. He treats them with respect, but it's like same with like his view on droids. Sometimes it's Obi-Wan. So I seeing him interact in the battlefields with the clones because I want to know he respects the clones as much as I think Anakin does.
Yeah,
and he does. But you know what I mean? Like you just because by the books, Obi-Wan. Might be like, hey, we're just here fighting with him. I don't know. But
He connects with Cody. I feel like there's this vibe across all the episodes that Anakin has this kind of special bond because he makes attachments.
Yeah.
Anakin kind of likes fighting.
He does.
And the clones were bred for war. Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a little bit of a bond from them of kind of having, you know, this weird childhood. And, you know, Anakin's got this weird, you know, doesn't have a father, you know, destined to be some chosen one.
Yeah.
He's kind of an orphan in a way, and they're kind of have this weird sort of like orphans you were just purpose, made for orphans with a purpose. Mm. So I feel like Anakin sees himself in the clones.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kenobi sees himself in them in that they're doing their job.
Yeah.
And like, he likes them, but he wants them to do their job. He wants to keep them safe if he can. But if it's their job to run into fire and take a risk, that's what he does too. And that's their job and they're doing their job, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a fascinating vibe there. Mm-hmm. For me, there's a couple of specific Kenobi moments that I love. It's in the first Clone Wars movie that I've now watched multiple times to study for trivia. But it's just such a perfect Kenobi moment when he needs to buy time. So he surrenders to General Loathsome.
Yep.
But just wants to have a drink like civilized people and get some tea. And he's just slowly sipping that tea. And it's such a great, like, it's kind of snarky in its own way. Cause it's like, I'm totally lying to you. I don't surrender. I'm buying time, but it's also totally plain knowing that this person will buy this, frustrating them. And also just like, going back to, you know, his New Hope quote about, you know, there are alternatives to fighting. Yeah. Distract them with tea. There's lots of things, you know, so it's so Kenobi on so many levels.
Drinking finger foods.
Yeah. Another little moment that just gets to see the cool Kenobi tactics. It's in a fight with, I believe, Maul in Savage Opress, mm-hmm. where outnumbered, overwhelmed, and he keeps making weird concessions in the battle to kick Savage in the leg until his leg finally cracks. And it's just, I love it in fights when it's not just this person's awesome, so they won. Or you can't track logic.
Right.
That's such a Kenobi move to go like, well, I'm not probably going to beat you in the fight.
Right.
And you're expecting me to try to cut your head off. So it will allow me to get in all these kicks into your leg until it breaks.
Yeah.
It's just to actually just see that kind of intelligence and the tactics.
Yes. Then maybe to use it against Grievous later didn't work out for him. But it worked before. So.
Yeah, it worked before.
Yeah.
Big picture, I think my favorite, the episode Lawless that we were talking about, you get to see him make so many choices. That is the episode spoiler where, sadly, Maul kills Satine in front of Kenobi. There's so many individual beautiful moments that him deciding to go, the kind of the symbolism that he takes Anakin's spice freighter, the Twilight
navigator
and a spice freighter to that he's on Anakin's ship doing a very Anakin like thing.
Yeah.
In the entire scene where Maul has Kenobi down on his knees and is ranting to him.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenobi says a couple of great things. He talks about he says, I've been to your village. Mm-hmm. I know that it wasn't your choice to join the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting there trying, this person who killed his master is making it pretty clear that he's about to kill the love of Obi-Wan's life.
Mm-hmm.
And Obi-Wan is trying to just say, I understand why you're doing these things. I'm trying to see things from your perspective. I'm having empathy. And then the biggest thing that is just so powerful to me is Maul saying, I can sense your anger and your fear. Just give in to them.
Right.
And Kenobi just laying it out of like, yeah, the temptation is always there. It's not that fear and anger don't exist. It's just a really strong choice to say no to them.
Yeah.
And you think you're going to break me by doing awful things, but that's the entire point. That's who I am. I have worked my entire life diligently to not give in to those things. And even though you just killed the person I love and I want to cut your head off, I'm not going to, because that's the whole thing.
That's
the whole Jedi deal.
Yeah.
It's really, really powerful when you, put it into the context of not only Kenobi as a character,
right,
but the philosophy of the Jedi, the contrast of Anakin.
Yeah, yeah.
We saw in Attack of the Clones, his mom died, and everybody's head's got to come off right now.
Right then and there.
You know, and
Dooku later, yeah.
Yeah, and what it means for Kenobi, what it means for the power of what a Jedi is. I'm like, this isn't weakness. It's weakness to give in to the dark side, and it's strength to stay attached to the light.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's Kenobi the core. It feels so well under Rebels, what you're describing, that sets it up for some of the greatest scenes later on.
Yeah.
With Kenobi and Maul.
Yeah. So beautiful, beautiful moments. Moving on. How does the Clone Wars change Obi-Wan's relationship to Anakin in your mind?
And it definitely makes it more robust. We see the promise that was first put out in even 77 with some of Guinness's stuff.
And a good friend.
Yeah. To actually see that doesn't necessarily change the relationship. It just makes it all more real. And I know, George, that's what part of the intention of Clone Wars was. Like, I didn't get a chance to do everything I wanted to do in the prequel. So let's do it here. So I like that a lot. It infused some tragedy into me, some of the stuff you're talking about. If he could have gotten to him, Obi-Wan got to Anakin with a little bit more of that real life advice, then that would have played out differently. And that to me factors into why Obi-Wan would be sad and regretful. Not just that his friend, the chosen one, turned on him, but yeah. Just like, I could have avoided this along the way, but we're just brothers of war, going through fighting for the good cause.
And I had faith that he was the chosen one and everything would work out. I put my faith in the Force. I put my faith in him. But what if? Yeah.
So, yeah, it infused a little tragedy to me in that.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how much the bonhomie, the friendship was built up, and that you get to see like that Obi-Wan is still the mentor.
Yep.
But they're both Jedi Knights and he respects him as a fellow Jedi Knight. And in terms of kind of forgiving Obi-Wan for not necessarily preventing Anakin from falling to the dark side, there are so many moments in the Clone Wars where they're both Jedi Knights. They're both doing it, doing their job. And you know, episodes will just be like, this is a fun romp. And
right.
they're bantering and they do things different ways and they love each other, but they kind of bicker like brothers. But there are lots of moments where Obi-Wan's like, don't blow that up. That's not, oh, he did and it worked.
Yeah.
So you can just analyze that on the surface of like, it's a fun adventure show. And of course, sometimes, you know, going, off book and doing something big and crazy is going to work. That's Star Wars up to a point. But you look at it at their relationship where so many times Obi-Wan's like, no, let's take a deep breath. Oh, you hacked some droids and blew up a thing and shot a thing and did a twist and a spiral and that actually solved everything and I was wrong.
Right.
That starts to make you go like, well, maybe Obi-Wan's just sitting back and going, no, damn, he is the chosen one.
Yeah.
I see that as aggression and maybe enjoying the fight too much, but right. maybe there's something to it, because a lot of times when I tell him to slow down and take a breath, he didn't need to.
Yeah, maybe Obi-Wan's for like, hey, the train's left the station on this guy. Maybe after the war, we'll get this. We'll have some conversations over dinner. I don't know. And how much was happening that Obi-Wan wasn't aware of. You know, at what point he might have figured out the Padme stuff. You know, yeah. I like what you're saying there. Just like him, like, well, you know, I guess Qui-Gon was white.
Yeah.
And all I can do is sit back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned that arc where Obi-Wan goes undercover as a bounty hunter. And a part of that is the Jedi keeping Anakin out of the loop. They stage a fake assassination of Kenobi.
Yeah.
And allow Anakin to think he's dead. And this is one of favorite things where you get to see Anakin tap into that anger in that fear of loss about Obi-Wan Kenobi, which deepens their relationship, because in the prequels we get to see a lot of Anakin being frustrated with Obi-Wan. There are definitely moments of mm-hmm. attachment and bonhomie, but that's great to see an episode where Anakin is almost as out for blood as he would be if something happened to Ahsoka or Padme, and just reminding you that, like, yep, for all of their differences, this was basically his father, mm-hmm. and he loves him, and he will fight for him. And it's this great, like, guilt point for Obi-Wan of, like, council told me not to tell you.
Yeah.
So, it is a way for Anakin to be further, like, not big on the Jedi right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was a great development for their relationship. Yeah. So do you think Kenobi has an arc in the Clone Wars animated show?
Yeah.
And if so, to you, what is it?
I mean, we use that word steadfast a lot last week, including the Star Destroyer Steadfast. That's part of who he is, right? Maybe it's me wanting him to be at a different spot at the end of this series, and a lot will be on episode season 7. At the beginning of Attack of Clones, he's all for war. He's the one that says, you know, we would not have won if not for the clones, which causes Yoda's, line to come back of, begun the Clone Wars was that whole scenario. So he's kind of a team player at the end. He goes through a lot of stuff, loses his stuff with Satine, challenge. You know, where is he at the end of it? I think he's always going to keep doing what's right. We know that. So that's not necessarily arc. He doesn't need to change. But I like this almost emotional, is it an arc or more just a slippery slope downslide into where he might end up in Revenge of the Sith, where, what does he believe? The stuff, does he go from when Dooku tells him in Attack of the Clones, here's the truth and don't trust anything, is that's what's changing in him? Is he more open to this world, to seeing what's going on with the Jedi? Is he more looking around going, not that we aren't right, but just like,
His doubt sort of deepen.
Doubt's deepen. My faith is wavering. I want to see more of that maybe in season 7, but I see. And maybe that might be wanting that more because then it's actually there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I think certainly like in Lawless, we get that steadfast of like, nope, this is my path and I know it. I think, I don't know how much it transforms him. It seems like it is knowledge added to his perspective that
scar.
Yeah. That he takes into Rebels, takes into the original trilogy. Mm. But in particular, I think getting to an age where he can't ignore the trauma of the past, right? When Maul comes back and he really has to face that, and he sees, that Anakin is going to continue to be affected by his past. There's that, the arc with the slavers not a great arc for me, in my opinion, for Obi-Wan, because he just gets his ass handed to him a lot. I think he's maybe a little depowered in that arc for my Kenobi fanboy taste.
Yeah.
But Anakin is reacting to his past.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan is seeing that. And I think just that it starts to, by the time we get to Rebels and he's like, it's time to heal these old wounds, and he's had so much time to reflect. I feel like in the Clone Wars, we're getting animated show, we're getting to see him go, the past is never fully gone. Some element of it, whether it be Sidine's hatred or Maul's or Sidine's love or Maul's hatred, it's always going to come back. And I also think as his various concerns, like not liking the politics of it, Clone Wars is powerful to see how much everything gets mucked up by politics. Maybe a concern that the war isn't right and you just need to get through them. I don't know that the show explicitly does this or says this, but for my headcanon, I really like that his answer to those fears is Anakin. That he has faith
in
that he believes that, the dark side is clouding everything. There is another Sith Lord out there. You know, maybe Dooku has an apprentice we don't know about. Probably there's another master. Probably there's some element of truth into what Dooku told me. But what exactly is it? Obviously, war is not great, but let's just end this one quickly. And while all the Jedi are like, we're mired in darkness and we're going to trust in the Force and find a way out, that his specific faith is, but Anakin is the chosen one, and whatever threat we're facing, it might be his destiny to end it.
Right.
And you go to that line in Revenge of the Sith when they're discussing it, and Anakin and Obi-Wan says he is the chosen one.
Yeah.
And he does seem to have a lot of faith in Anakin at the beginning of that movie. That to me, it's interesting to watch the Clone Wars with the idea of part of this arc is Kenobi going, yep. There's stuff that's not good, but I trust that Anakin will be the vessel through which the Force sets things right.
Which all fuels into the "You were the chosen one" scream. So.
Yep. Yeah.
Well played.
Yeah.
Building back from that.
So you mentioned this a little bit, but what are you expecting or wanting for Kenobi in the end of the Clone Wars animated series? What do you expect from him, season 7?
The big question is how far we're going in, right? We definitely know we're going past the big events of Revenge of the Sith. The fact that we hear Mace say that line of the sense of plot to destroy the Jedi.
Yeah.
If there's any kind of like we've got some of this wrong or we've made some mistakes and how that hits Obi-Wan leading to the moments that we know now on film. I'm just curious how much we're going to play with that.
Yeah.
Because that's where, I'm constantly intrigued by the idea of Obi-Wan in that desert 7-8 years in going, how did we lose this fight?
Yeah.
How did we lose this fight? Did we start to see some of that sink in? I don't know if we're going to get a ton of Obi-Wan. I don't know. You know, this definitely seems we get the big Siege Mandalore stuff. Definitely looks a lot of focused on Ahsoka. 12 episodes? So I personally am not expecting like an Obi-Wan central episode. But I just want to see some of. Do I want to see his faith get shook more? I guess I do.
Yeah,
just to not just line up, but just to see where his mental state is in this war.
Yeah, that feels right to me too. I am bracing myself as a big Kenobi fan. I don't think we're gonna get a ton of Kenobi. He's certainly one of the main characters of the Clone Wars, but I mean, Anakin and Ahsoka, have, I think, carry a little bit more of the whole overall story.
Yeah.
Even though there's so much great stuff and great moments with him, there are some episodes where he's just like, I'm just doing my business. So I expect that that's a little bit, but what we'll get, what I'm really hoping for is exactly what you said. Just a few moments of, I knew the war was bad.
Yeah.
I didn't realize quite how bad, quite what a dire situation we're in and how much of a mistake it might have been, even if he could name check Satine.
Yeah.
Satine pushed him on, hey, I thought you were keepers of the peace and here you are running around doing a war. What's that about, Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Especially if Ahsoka's going to be there coming back. And I want to see a bit of a confrontation with Ahsoka and him. Because he's part of that, what I call the all-star team of Jedi who are there like, sorry for kicking you out.
Yeah.
It was your test. He's part of that.
Yeah.
And for her to kind of...
He's a company man, right?
Man. Yeah. And for her to be like, hey, maybe have some confront... You talked a lot last week. I really love this idea of her going, it ain't what we believe that's wrong. It's how you guys are getting farther and farther from it. But I know you're not Obi-Wan. I'd love to have that moment. I don't know if it's too far along. Has enough time passed? Like, I don't know if I necessarily want Ahsoka and Obi-Wan to meet in the Disney Plus series, but if they were to have a My Dinner with Andre conversation about what happened,
yeah,
I'm interested in that at some point.
Yeah, that would be great. I would love that. I wouldn't mind a beat of bon ami friendship with Cody.
Yeah.
To heighten even more the tragedy of Revenge of the Sith, which is, I think, already pretty great with him handing the lightsaber back and then seconds later. shooting at him.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind another just great moment of Anakin, Obi-Wan bonding, even if it's through snark, brothers in arms. But just again, to just heighten that tragedy. All those beats, all those character interactions seem right to where Obi-Wan Kenobi is in the Clone Wars.
Absolutely.
So any final thoughts before we wrap up with a fun question?
No, other than, I do. He's such a big part of Star Wars, right? You grew up with this character, like I said, and have it play out on a weekly basis for five seasons plus the six bonus, played out a little differently, of course, but to see it play out, and then where I started with him just as like, do I want to see this? Do I accept this animated beard that's not moving, and just the stuff, to see where that just all faded away. Now, now that is Obi-Wan to me in a lot of ways. And I know for a lot of people, that's Obi-Wan to them.
That's their Obi-Wan. Yeah. And I should take a second to also say, we are always on Force Center, like going deep and thinking about the characters' real perspective, whether they're feeling the themes, extrapolating from little moments into big picture stuff. I also just want to celebrate. Star Wars is fun, and George Lucas was having fun telling big, exciting action adventure stories. And it's a huge thrill to just see Obi-Wan Kenobi partially wearing clone armor, igniting that blue lightsaber, doing his cool fighting stance, just saying something witty and cutting down a thousand droids, fighting Maul again, just the surface level, nothing else but awesome. Serialized storytelling action adventure, that stuff is great too when it comes to Kenobi.
It just really pays off.
Yeah. So final question. If Kenobi was real and we could ask him one question, what might it be?
See, I think I have one, but I don't want to step on yours.
No, please go for it.
Well, I would ask him where the best drinks in the galaxy are. I don't know if that's similar to yours. Sometimes you and I think similar on some of these characters, but I would want to know. I'd want to know.
I thought of several options, and one of them is definitely drink related. I thought of just asking, I was like, well, what is your favorite drink? Where is that? You and I have talked about it so much. I love that side of Obi-Wan. It feels like he might have been to the Outlander Club before.
Oh,
he certainly hangs out at Dex's, and I love to think that he's just sitting there, and he's talking about weird adventures he's had, and he's talking about politicians he doesn't trust, and he's a guy at the bar.
I mean, when he's talking to Luke, walking into the cantina,
he's like, I know. Yeah, he's been to Chalmers before. Yeah, he's had some bad experiences there.
Where's like, hey, what's up, Ben? You regular?
He has definitely been served some fried yip dip that did not sit well with him at Chalmers Cantina. So favorite drink was one thing I'd ask him. Considered what Dexter Jetster smells like. That seems like a waste of a question. So I think I'd have to go with the absolute classic of. So we. Did you recognize R2 and you were just giving him a hard time? Were you being pedantic that you didn't own a droid before? Like, what was that your signal to R2 to be like, don't start beeping out our whole history, dude, because it goes back a while. But what exactly were you thinking in that moment?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be fun to see the smile on his face and hear his thoughtful but perhaps grumpy answer.
And his point of view.
That is it for this episode of the Clone Wars Report. And until next time, as Obi-Wan Kenobi might ask you to consider to do, just keep thinking about Kenobi from different points of view.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.